today on Real Radio.
Maybe you're here tonight and you're thinking, oh my goodness, I think God might think I'm wicked. Listen, he doesn't think you're wicked. He knows you're wicked. Here's the cool thing. He says, bring your wickedness to me and I will forgive you. Amen. What a wonderful thing.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called The Spirit of God at Work, Part 4, continues now in a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for joining us today. You know, God called the prophet Isaiah primarily to the nation of Judah and to the city of Jerusalem. God wanted Judah to turn away from their sins and return to him so that he could continue to bless them. And you know, Isaiah is also called the evangelical prophet of the Old Testament because God used him not only to share the good news of the coming Messiah, but also what's going to happen in the last days when Christ returns. In continuing with Isaiah chapter 11, Isaiah prophesied the Messiah would be born from the seed of David, but he would also have the Spirit of holiness. Both birthrights point to one Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ. We also learned that the Messiah would have the Spirit of the Lord on him, the Spirit of wisdom, understanding, counsel, and of might, and he will also have the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Now, in part 4, we'll see how the events of the second coming of Jesus will begin to unfold. So today on day 2 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that in the second coming, Jesus will speak the word of God like a sharp two-edged sword. He'll also make war on those nations who come against him and judge them for their ungodly deeds. God has to do this to prepare the earth for his reign. And now, continuing his lesson called The Spirit of God at Work, Part 4, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
If you are filled with the reverential awe of God, delight yourself in the Lord. Find your meaning and purpose in him. Well, if that happens, if that's how you're going to live, he's going to give you the desires of your heart. Why? Because the desires of your heart are God-honoring. You want to have a blessed life? It's not by the things you possess. If you're saying to yourself tonight, man, if I just own that thing, if I can just have that other deal, I'll be happy. No, you won't. Nope. But if God, listen, if God is the focal point of your possessions, if God is the focal point of your affection, you can be happy, you can be joyful, you can be resilient against the things of this world because your happiness, your existence, your true possessions are not rooted in physical things. Didn't Jesus say it this way? Don't put treasures to yourself here on earth where people break in and steal. Or thief comes to rip off, or things begin to rust. He said, why don't you put your treasures in heaven? How do you do that? By delighting yourself in the Lord. Lord, put within my heart. See, Jack, what does that mean? This way, Lord, put within me. I'm inviting you, Lord, to put within my heart the things that you know that you want to happen in my life. God knows this. I don't know what's best for me. You don't know what's best for you. Nobody else does. Listen, I hate to break this to you, especially you young people. The government doesn't know what's best for you. They don't know. God knows. To delight ourselves in him. If we were to decide to do that tonight, it'd be an amazing thing in all of our lives. And so as verse 3 goes on, he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes. That's how human judges judge. He's not going to do like that. He's not going to be like that. Jesus won't do that. He's not going to do that when he comes. Nor decide by the hearing of his ears. Verse 4, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. Think of that. Church, is that needed tonight? Wow. He shall strike, watch this, he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. And with the breath of his lips, he shall slay the wicked. I want you to look at this for a second. Mark it in your Bibles. You guys, many, many times people will say to you, and you're sharing with others about Jesus, I don't believe in the God of the Old Testament. You know, by the way, listen, fast forward. He's the same God. You and I, this world even, has the benefit of living during this dispensation of grace. There's going to come a time when it's going to be ended. And the Bible says that when he comes back, he is going to strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. But you might be thinking, well, who's going to do that? The Bible's going to tell us Jesus is going to do that. Does that freak you out? We like the Jesus who looks like a surfer down in Newport. That kind of portrayal of Jesus. We love the Jesus carrying the little lamb on his shoulders, you know, in the photograph. We love that. Of course we love that. But when time comes for that chapter of God dealing with man, when it closes, who knows how much time we have left in the future, but that door will close. The Bible tells us that when he comes in the second coming, he will smite the earth with the rod of his mouth. And with the breath of his lips, he shall slay the wicked. Man, let me tell you, is that politically incorrect to even say? Oh, yeah. Would somebody try to make Jesus now illegal because of that? Oh, yeah. But listen, do you think he cares? Do you think a human court affects the will of God? You think people walking around or sitting around in black robes threatens him? Listen, you want absolute justice? You want absolute right leadership? The wicked are going to be slain someday, according to God. He's going to do it. The wicked will be slain in his great judgment. The question is, when will that happen? We'll talk about that more in a moment. It says in verse 5, righteousness shall be the belt of his loins. Righteousness, that is the right thing. Holy righteousness will be the very belt of his loins. It's a symbol of what ties everything together in your clothing of that time, in that first century for the time of Christ, and even, of course, back in Isaiah's day, nothing had really changed, that when you put all of your clothing together or all of your armament together as a soldier or as a warrior, it was all held in place by your belt. That's where it all came together, in the midst of your torso. And God says of himself, it's righteous. And faithfulness, the belt of his waist. That means he's going to execute and do all that he's promised to do. The God of the Bible is not a situational God. He is holy. He is just. Yes, he's loving. You see, Pastor, I thought God is a loving God. He is a loving God. The Bible says, for God so loved the world, right? That he gave his only begotten Son. But whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. The exact same Bible says, though, that he's angry with the wicked every day. So how do the wicked become unwicked? Because, you know, are you Christian tonight? You know, before you were a Christian, before I was a Christian, I was wicked. You were wicked before you became a Christian. In fact, the saving grace instantaneously is the fact that when we called out upon him to forgive us of our sins, he positionally declared us righteous by the blood of Christ. But how many of us still struggle with aspects of our wickedness? The awesome thing is it doesn't control us anymore. In fact, let's be honest. If you're a Christian, you hate that. You even hate the temptation when it arises in your heart, let alone the mishap. I am so grateful for that war inside of my heart. Maybe you're here tonight and you're thinking, oh my goodness, I think God might think I'm wicked. Listen, he doesn't think you're wicked. He knows you're wicked. Here's the cool thing. He says, bring your wickedness to me and I will forgive you. Amen. What a wonderful thing. We're talking about Christ coming in the second coming. Ladies and gentlemen, church family, when Jesus Christ comes in the second coming, not the rapture, in the second coming, the Bible, as we mentioned before, the rod, the word of God will come out of his mouth and he will smite the earth in righteousness. He will judge. That's at the second coming. He's got to do that to prepare the earth for his reign. There's a new sheriff in town and he rides a white horse. And his name's Jesus. He's coming back. And the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 15. Now listen, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption. I love that. By whom we cry out, Abba, Father. This is amazing. No Jewish person on the planet tonight would ever think of calling God Papa. And yet, here's the Apostle Paul telling the believers in Rome, now by virtue of the fact that you're a Christian, you can call God Papa. Abba is Hebrew for Papa, if you're Italian, Papa. Isn't that amazing? Verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Dear Christian, listen. If you're doubting tonight, go to that verse. It's the Spirit of God that confirms the fact to you that you're a Christian. If you are religious tonight and you don't know what's going to happen to you, but you don't have Jesus, you're not born again, the Spirit of God is not confirming to you that you're a child of God. You need to fix that tonight. But let's keep going. And verse 17, and if children, then heirs, watch, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, technically that is a reference to his rule and his reign. That speaks about the millennium. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Verse 18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time, that they are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation, the world, the universe, the natural world that you see, eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Are you a believer in Christ Jesus? You're a son of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him, Christ, who subjected it in hope. Verse 21, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. In your margins, write, this will happen in fulfillment at the second coming of Christ. That's when that's going to be fulfilled. Christ returns in the second coming, and he begins to establish his rule on earth. And again, part of it will not only be the judgment of the nations, but it will be the recreation of creation. He will revive creation. That's during the millennium. And when it says that he'll strike the earth again in verses 4 and 5 with his mouth and his righteousness and faithfulness, this is the purpose for the second coming and the millennium. I'm going to ask you to write these down if you would. This is that time frame mentioned throughout great parts of Scripture. When God comes, when Christ comes in the second coming, how's that going to unfold? Isaiah chapter 26, verse 20. Mark it down if you would. Isaiah 26, 20. Watch this. Isaiah says, come, my people, and enter your chambers and shut your doors behind you and hide yourself, as it were, for a little moment. Why? Until the indignation is past. For behold, the Lord comes out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their what? Iniquity or sin. Jude chapter 1, verse 14. Another verse regarding the establishment of the millennium. Jude 1, 14. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s. That's an innumerable number. It's not an odd way of saying it. It's a word in the Greek, which means numbers beyond counting, of his saints. This is the second coming. To execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Wow, he's coming back. Revelation 19, we're still talking about the establishment of the millennium and the second coming of Christ. This is powerful stuff. Revelation 19, 11. Now I saw heaven open, says John. Man, put yourself with him. Oh. I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. That's not the name of his horse. That's the name of him who sits on the horse. It is a good name for a horse, though. And in righteousness, he judges and what? Makes war. This is the Jesus, not the Newport Beach version. The second coming of Christ is the Christ Jesus returning, and he's going to make war when he comes. His eyes were like a flame of fire, John says, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. That's cool. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God, John chapter 1. And the armies in heaven, so who are the armies in heaven? It's going to tell you here in a moment. Whoever they are, they're clothed in fine linen, white and clean. This is an odd army. Why? It's an army on horses, we'll see here, wearing fine linen, white and clean. Those are the words of a wedding gown. It's a wedding dress. Isn't that funny? It's not robes. Tribulation saints have robes. Old Testament saints have robes. Church ain't got no robes. The church wears a wedding gown. And she's coming back with him in the second coming. Just to cause some of you to stay up all night to try to figure out how that could possibly be when you don't have a rapture happening. How did this young lady get up there in the first place? How did she get there? How is it that she's up there with this fine white linen, clean and bright, and she's been delivered to the gospel from every country, tribe, tongue, and nation of all those who have dwelt on, from every country, from every place on earth? She's found in heaven after John chapter 4, verse, or Revelation 4, verse 1. She's with him, and she's called the bride of Christ. How'd she get there? Wow, watch this. The armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Verse 15, now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword. Does that sound like Isaiah? Yeah. Do you see the connection, Old Testament to New? You'll never get the book of Revelation without knowing the Old Testament. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword that with it he should strike the nations. He himself will rule them with a rod of iron. What is that? His authority will rule. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is our God. Wouldn't it be awesome to just see a little rehearsal of that right now, like over Syria or Iraq? Imagine all the Christians right now that are calling out to Jesus and are giving their heads, literally, for Christ right now. Can you imagine if the heavens began to shake and the sun is blotted out because the brightness of this one that's coming, and out of his mouth goes a sharp two-edged sword and the glory of the coming Christ, and behind him a cloud of an innumerable amount of people wearing a wedding gown on horses. Can you imagine him coming to execute justice and righteousness in the earth? I find it interesting, a lot of people today who cry and whine about justice, we need justice, are sometimes the most unjust people I've ever seen. They will fight and make all kinds of noise for the most lame reason, or they may have great intentions, but they picked the wrong fight, you know? And it's like, what are you doing? And then you ask them more questions. You know people like this? I do. You ask them more questions, and they're all for justice, justice, justice. And then I'll ask them, well, where are you on the rights of the unborn? The what? Oh, it's just tissue. But then if you ask them, oh, wow, that's weird. Anyway, I thought you were for justice. Doesn't that little guy in there get justice? What about killing whales? Oh, no, that's an abomination. Look, I'm not promoting killing whales. I think whales are great. I'm just saying, there'll be people who will defend nature and then sacrifice someone who's created in the image of God. Where's the justice in that? Or when somebody says there is no God, there's no God, and there's some atrocity done in someone's life, and maybe someone kidnaps your daughter and kills her. Listen, the Bible offers justice in the end over this. The atheist has nothing. The atheist cannot give me any justice. There's no closure. No, the Bible says Jesus is coming back and he's going to put his foot down. This is very, very serious stuff. Micah chapter 1, verse 3, again, all about the second coming and the establishment of the millennium, which is what Isaiah 11 is about. For behold, the Lord is coming out of his place. He will come down and tread on the high places of the earth. Wow. You think that's metaphorical? No, it's going to happen. The mountains will melt under him, and the valleys will split like wax before the fire, like waters poured down a steep place. That's fantastic, because when you read in Zechariah, when Jesus returns, the Bible says his foot is going to touch. It's a cool word, everybody. In the second coming, are you watching me? Because this is very important right here. This is my PowerPoint. In the second coming, when he comes, when he comes to execute his righteousness on the earth, the Bible tells us that his foot is going to touch the Mount of Olives. So here's the Temple Mount. Watch this. He comes from Basra. The Bible tells us his approach route. He comes from the east to the west. From Basra, he's going to come, touch the Mount of Olives. It's going to split open, the Bible says, and he's going to descend to the Temple Mount where his throne will be. Well, he'll establish his throne. Jesus is going to do that. And the Temple Mount, the Mount of Olives, splits open. And the Bible tells in the book of Ezekiel that a crack is going to be so big right there that the water from the Mediterranean Sea will begin to fill the crack and flow all the way down to the Dead Sea. Read tonight Ezekiel chapter 40 onward. It's fascinating. In fact, it says in those chapters that the same fish that are found in the Mediterranean will be found in the Dead Sea when Christ returns. Are you an environmentalist? Give your heart to Christ tonight. He's the ultimate. He's going to fix it all. It's going to be awesome. At the second coming, when Christ comes.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called The Spirit of God at Work, Part 4. Thanks for taking the time to join us today, and always remember that God loves you. He wants to rescue you from this world into eternal life in heaven with him. The Spirit of God at Work, Part 4. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. It's a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before the day he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. We want you to know that Pastor Jack has a recommended book of the month for June. It's now available. It's called The Man God Uses by Henry and Tom Blackaby. Anyone who's ever been called by God is eager to know and understand his will for their life. The Man God Uses is a study guide encouraging Christian men to take a look at their personal encounters with the Lord and to follow his will in all areas of life, whether it's at home or work, in the community or church. There's also a guide for small group discussions, and through the 7 weeks of study, The Man God Uses will show how God's power can transform ordinary men into extraordinary forces for good in this world. Again, The Man God Uses is now available for you, and you can purchase it at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. If you'd like to donate, you can do so at Real Life with Jack Hibbs on the app, or just go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Hey, here's our phone number if you should need it. It's 877-RR-RADIO. That's a toll-free phone call. 877-777-2346. Also, here's the address. Jot this one down. P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.